The number of survivors is growing in the U.S. and elsewhere due to early detection, better treatment, and better long-term support of patients who've developed cancer.
That's oncologist Ann Partridge of the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute. Doctors like Partridge used to focus on blasting cancer with everything they had, desperate just to keep their patient alive. Now, there are 15 million cancer survivors in the United States, with more than a million more joining their ranks every year. So, Partridge and others are beginning to dial back aggressive therapies. Today, in our series, This Moment in Cancer, Karen Weintraub explains that doctors are also thinking more about their patients' long-term emotional and physical health.
Maggie Laux was a week past her 28th birthday when her doctor told her she had invasive breast cancer. Over the next 6 months, she underwent surgery, egg harvesting to preserve her fertility, chemotherapy, radiation, and hormone therapy.
Because I'm a young woman with invasive breast cancer, they kind of throw everything at you.
Laux, a nurse practitioner, says she was lucky to have Ann Partridge as her doctor at just the right time. Partridge had helped run a study showing that patients like Laux could safely skip two of the usual chemotherapy drugs, taking a less toxic medication instead.
And I got the lesser aggressive treatment in effort to decrease some toxicity that could occur later in life, whether it's infertility or the small chance of leukemia. And, you know, that was amazing.
So as a community, we're all trying to do more to not hurt people through therapy.
That's Ann Partridge again. She says it's important for caregivers to remember that patients will be living, perhaps for decades, with the long-term impacts of their therapies.
And our goal is to try to diminish the aftermath, to do more for them up front that treats the cancer and at the same time as little hurt or harm to the patient.
Dr. Julie Silver is director of cancer rehab at Spalding Rehabilitation Hospital. She was already a high-powered rehab specialist with three children when she was diagnosed with breast cancer more than a decade ago. Like so many other cancer patients, she felt great at the beginning of her treatment and absolutely awful by the end.
I asked my oncologist, what do I do next? And he said to me, someday, if you can, try to go back to work. I realized right then and there that what was missing was cancer rehabilitation.
People with cancer often have predictable physical symptoms either before or after their treatment, such as pain, sleep disruption, and trouble swallowing. For example, many women who have breast cancer surgery also get lymph nodes removed from their armpits. This can make it painful to put on a shirt or brush their hair. Silver says the problem could be minimized with physical therapy, but few women are tested or treated for it.
If we identify those early, sometimes we can even cure them right from the outset. And sometimes we can just minimize how bad they get so that the woman is not left with a lot of pain and disability.
Instead of rehab, most cancer patients are simply told to exercise and maybe do some relaxation activities like yoga. Silver thinks that's fine, but those patients may also need more formal treatment.
For example, if someone had a stroke, we wouldn't say to that person, you need to just go out and take 10,000 steps a day and do yoga and so on. Instead, we would evaluate and treat that person to mitigate the problems that he or she was having.
But cancer survivors don't just face physical challenges.
I think that the key challenge for patients after they've been diagnosed and treated is living with uncertainty and living with a potential fear.
That's Dr. James Tulski, who chairs the Department of Psychosocial Oncology and Palliative Care at Dana-Farber and Brigham and Women's Hospital. He tries to help patients understand the risks and distinguish between realistic concerns and what he calls catastrophizing.
Grappling with that sense of impending doom is very hard. And you can never tell someone that it's completely unrealistic because they can get their cancer back. It's real. And yet the probability may be very low.
Maggie Laux says she's not so worried about a recurrence, but she carries terrible survivor's guilt and a fear that her loved ones will get cancer.
That's something I live with every single day. I ask myself all the time, you know, why am I a lucky one? Why am I one of the ones doing well in these past 6 years?
Now, Laux is finished with the last of her hormone therapy. She says it's exciting to think about having kids again, but it's also kind of terrifying to be done with treatment.
And so I'm kind of feeling hopeful and joyful, but fearful that a drug that was, you know, hopefully preventing any recurrence, I'm now not taking.
Many survivors share her sense of excitement and trepidation at the end of their treatment. Still, today, most are simply sent on their way. Ann Partridge, Julie Silver, and James Tulski are doctors in the mainstream of cancer medicine, but their efforts on behalf of survivors are not yet the norm. There's still a lot of work to do before all cancer patients receive the least amount of therapy they need to survive and the most support to return to physical and mental health. For 90.9 WBUR, I'm Karen Weintraub.
This Moment in Cancer was produced by WBUR's Carrie Goldberg and George Hicks.